Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Appreciate that very much. All right, let's prepare ourselves for the next lesson in our gospel series. And the purpose of this prayer will become more evident after this morning's study. But it is a time to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Spirit, because He is the true teacher. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to open the Scriptures to find Your message to us. Father, we pray now that Your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that You would have us to see in truth. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. The most important question, doctrine, for the non-Christian, non-believer, is how to be saved. How can I be saved? We covered that last week. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved by faith alone. Now, let's say that you have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, the most important question for the Christian is how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We must be able to see that both of these are a form of salvation or deliverance by and from God, totally by God, before we're able to understand that we are, that both our eternal life salvation and our salvation from sin, deliverance from sin as believers, Spirit-filled life, is by faith and faith alone. Both are secured by faith alone. They are both a form of deliverance. They are both a form of salvation. The one, eternal life salvation that we studied last week, is from the penalty of sin, and the other is from the power of sin. And believers, and both salvations must be by grace through faith. If you have believed in Jesus Christ in this study, or you are already saved, please listen. Please listen very carefully to this study. I know of very few theologians, preachers, who deal with how to be filled with the Spirit. I know many talk about being filled with the Spirit. Some even talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Some talk about walking in the Spirit. But they never tell us how. How am I filled with the Spirit? So please listen carefully today. This is the most important lesson, the most important doctrine, the most important truth that you'll ever have now that you're a Christian. And I mean that. There is no more important doctrine than this one. As an unbeliever, the question was, how am I saved? But now as a believer, how am I saved as a believer? How am I filled with the Holy Spirit? How can I recover, be restored after I sin? And yes, people, believers sin. You will sin. Don't ever buy into this stuff that if you're a believer, you're not. If you're a true believer, you won't sin. There are three categories of sin: mental attitude sins, jealousy, hatred, anger, bitterness. All of these, pride, arrogance. There are sins that come from our tongue, like lying, slander, gossip. And then, of course, there's the overt sins that we commit. So, as a believer, and you commit or I commit a sin, how am I going to get out of that? That's what we're looking at this morning. How do I live the Christian way of life? How do I live the Spirit-filled life? How can I be sure that whatever I do is not works of the flesh, but is works of God? All these questions have the same simple one answer: by faith and faith alone. This time in the one that God sent for your spiritual life. That is God, the Holy Spirit. Faith in the one that God sent for eternal life, salvation, is in His Son, Jesus Christ. Faith in the one He sent for our spiritual life, faith in His Spirit. See, you already know how to be filled with the Spirit. You already know how. You don't have to learn anything else. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you were saved by grace through faith, then you know how to be filled with the Spirit. That same faith. This is very important. Let's see how it works now. The gospel is for Christians as well as non-Christians. Let's begin with Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 again. This time we're going to look at it in context. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Please get your Bibles out if you're listening on the internet or disc or tape or whatever. Get your Bible out. Look at it. Let's come familiar with the Bible. And again, I teach from the New American Standard, and somewhere we'll talk about translations and the difference in which one's the best and all that kind of thing. But right now, let's just look at Galatians 1:6. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which really is not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now, the book of Galatians is written to believers, those saved by grace through faith, but who are trying to live the Christian life by law. Saved by grace, live by law. And I'm sorry, but that characterizes way too many believers. We are to live as we were saved, by grace, and grace does not change after you become a believer. Grace does not change after you're saved. Grace on the left side of the cross, as it were, is the same as grace on the right side of the cross. You can't change it. Same God, same grace, applied on both sides. This is why it is so important to have a correct understanding of how you were saved eternally. Because this is how you're going to live, by grace through faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, walking by sight is, well, I'm restored if I confess. I'm restored if I yield. I'm restored if I'm good. I'm restored if I'm moral. I'm restored if this and that. No, that's walking by sight. Just like being saved, just by faith. We're going to live and we're going to walk by faith, not by sight. And when anyone tries to tell you, if you correctly know how you were saved, anyone tries to tell you now that you're saved, you have to do and do for the Lord. You're no better. Just go in your mind and say, wait a minute. Now, you don't need to tell them. You don't need to try to straighten out anybody. But in your mind, no, wait a minute. That's not how I was saved. That's not how I entered into this whole plan of God. It's not how I'm going to live the Christian life. Now, let's look at verse 6. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Now, first note what amazes Paul. It's not sin. It's not that they sinned. Sin amazes many believers. In fact, most believers probably. But not to those who know the truth. What amazes Paul is what you try to do with your sin. What amazes Paul is that you so quickly desert the gospel by which you were saved for a different one. To handle your sins, you change the gospels. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him. And people, it's amazing how quickly people move who are saved by grace through faith, try to start living the Christian life now by being good, by being moral, by going to church, by giving, by any of these things, do and do. So amazing how quickly we change. Start living the Christian way of life by works. Deserting Him. Now, this is deserting God the Father. And the word to desert is interesting. It's a beautiful descriptive word in the Greek. And let's see if I can help you grasp it. It denotes a change of place or condition. That's right out of the lexicons. Lexicon is a Greek or Hebrew dictionary. Call them lexicons. To change a change of place or condition. To put yourself in another position. Okay, you were saved by grace through faith. Now that you're saved, you change to another position. That is, you change to a position of works. Law, legalism, do and do, do and do. I've got to give, I've got to pray, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that in order to be right with God. As we're going to see, these are results. They're not the means. People, you were in the position of grace when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior by faith in Him alone. And you changed, you deserted that position for a position of works when you try to do works to live the Christian life. I'm amazed that you so quickly are deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ. That is, God called us through or by means of the grace of Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone. Now they were in a position of grace. But they changed. And what did they do? They changed for a different gospel. Wow. That's powerful. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time, but there are two different words in the Greek, different words translated another. And this is very important where it appears in many places in the New Testament. Now, the Greek word here for a different means another of a different kind. For a different gospel. It's a different kind of gospel. You change from a gospel of works, or grace, to a gospel of works. Saved by grace, saved by the gospel of grace, and now you've changed to live by the gospel of works. Now the question arises, why is it so tempting for us to accept a gospel of works as an unbeliever? We saw how many unbelievers try to be saved by a lot of things. Repentance and doing and doing and joining a church, inviting Jesus into your heart. You don't, there's no, that's not in the Bible. Making Him Lord. People, you don't make Him Lord. He is Lord. But all of these things have become very popular. Why is that? If they're not true. How can everybody, because people, this appeals to the basic instinct of man. Our basic instinct. The basic instinct of man is not sex. But the basic instinct of man is to work and to be rewarded for that work. So we are naturally drawn to a gospel that appeals to us doing something, where we have a part in our salvation. Then we feel like we've done something. We're a part to help God out here. And that's the whole reason it's by grace through faith. Because we cannot do anything to help God out. He's done it all. Remember? He will save and He will do it alone. And now believers, as believers, in our flesh nature, we're drawn to a gospel of works. Now what do I do for God? I want to do for God. People, you did not do anything to be saved. You cannot do anything to be spiritual. It's all the work of God. It's a basic instinct. Think about it. How are we raised as children? A little bitty. We're praised when we learn to go to the potty. We're praised when we learn to tie our shoe. We're praised when we learn to put on our clothes correctly, not backward. We're praised when all of these things. How many people suffer from stress, anxiety, and depression? I'm not worthy to be loved. I need to be worthy to be loved. And then they try to carry all of this over to God. So we live on a performance-based society. It's our human nature. Okay, verse 6. I am amazed that you so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Now, you'll enjoy the Greek here. Remember, I told you we had two different words for another. One is in verse 6, for a different gospel, for another gospel of a different kind. Now in verse 7, you have another word, which is really not another. Now what does that mean? It is not another of the same kind of gospel by which you were saved. It's not the same kind. It's a different kind. You were saved by a gospel of grace. This is a different kind of gospel. This is a gospel of works. So it's really not another kind that's going to save you. That's what Paul is saying here. It's not the same kind by which you were saved. Meaning, it's not going to save you. It's not going to deliver you. It's entirely different. Which is really not another of the same kind by which you were saved. It is not a gospel like the gospel by which you were saved. And this gospel that you've turned to will not save, will not deliver you as a believer in Jesus Christ. It will not deliver you or restore you from sin to the Spirit-filled life. So it is not another gospel. It isn't going to work. Just because you're saved now and you say, oh, well, now I'm doing these works and now God's going to accept them. No. Grace doesn't change. So this is not a gospel. It's presented as a gospel, but it's not a gospel like the gospel by which you were saved. They left grace for works. So I hope you now begin to see why Paul is so amazed that they have deserted a gospel of grace and deserted it and changed to a different kind of gospel, a gospel of works, which isn't going to work. You're not going to be saved by it, delivered by it, restored from sin by it, in fellowship with God by it. Now look at the next thing, very quickly. Only, there are some who are disturbing you. Okay, there are some. People, this refers to anyone. A preacher, a teacher, a friend, who want you to live by works. They want you to do and do, do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule, little here, little there. And they teach a works gospel to live by. That disturbs us at first. Wait a minute, this isn't how I'm saved, but okay. And then we're sucked in to a gospel of works. So that's how they're disturbing you. How are they disturbing you? Well, one way is to try to get you to doubt that you're really saved. Oh, you've sinned. You're really not saved. So that's one way they disturb. Another way is to get you to move to works. Yet you know that's not the same way I was saved. That's not by grace. So that disturbs. Another way is to stir up trouble among believers with their false gospel. Try to cause divisions. Now, the real problem is in the next statement. And want to distort the gospel of Christ. And want to distort the gospel of Christ. The word to distort means to turn it into something that it is not. Now, see what they're doing? They're not taking the gospel away. These preachers, teachers, and people do not take the gospel away. They talk about a gospel. It's just that it's not the same gospel by which you were saved. They want to tweak it. You ever know people like that? They get a car, and boy, they got to tweak it. They got to put on different wheels, and they got to put on different steerable. They got to do this, and they got to do that to it. In the old days, when the engines were different, they could really tweak up the engines and stuff. All this. I had buddies that did that. Got to always treat. People do that with houses. they buy a house, well, I'm going to take that wall out, and I'm going to put the wall over here, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. They got to tweak it. That's okay in life. But don't do that with the gospel. Don't tweak it. It is so marvelous. You're saved by grace through faith. That's beautiful. That's the only way it can be. Don't tweak it. Leave it alone. See, these people use the word gospel. It's why it's very important, and I've told you this before, you need to know what a person means when they use the word gospel. Faith, love, salvation. You need to know grace. You need to know what they mean when they use these words. Because they do not always mean the same thing, and they do not mean what the Bible says. Okay, let's see how this flows. I am amazed that you're so quickly deserting, changing your position, Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different position, a different gospel, a different way to live now. See, the gospel is for the Christian, non-Christian, and the gospel is for the Christian. It's for both. Which is really not another. In other words, it isn't going to save you. It isn't going to deliver you from sin. It is not going to restore you to the Holy Spirit. Only there are some who are disturbing you. If you really understood grace, you're disturbed by works. And want to distort the gospel of Christ. Not take it away from you. Just distort it. You're saved by grace through faith. Then you try to live the Christian life by works. That's distorting the gospel. Saved by the gospel of grace, and then change your life to a gospel of works. See, the gospel is for Christians. I don't know if you've ever been told that or not, but the gospel is for Christians. Until you understand that recovery, or salvation, or deliverance, all three are good words, that recovery, or salvation, or deliverance from sin as a believer is just as much a doing of God, a saving from God, a deliverance from God, as is your recovery, salvation, and delivery as an unbeliever was. See, I hope you understood. As an unbeliever, I know I can't do anything. I'm under the penalty of sin. My righteousness is filthy. All of these things. There's nothing I can do, so I can understand it's got to be by grace through faith. Well, people, you must understand that when you sin, you're what the Bible calls carnal. You're spiritually dead temporally. You want to come alive. And that's why the Holy Spirit is said to give life. Jesus Christ gives us eternal life. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual life. Want to become spiritually alive. See? Both of them are a deliverance, or a salvation, or a recovery, and it must be by God. And then you have no problem. If you understand that, then you have no problem seeing that it's got to be by grace through faith. I can see that. It's got to be by grace through faith. As an unbeliever, we are under the penalty of sin, and need to be saved or delivered from the penalty of sin. As a believer, when we sin, we come under the power of sin. And remember, sin in three categories. Mental attitude, sin of the tongue, overt. Now, I'm sure you've all heard little white lie. Well, before God, you don't get that kind of leniency. See, when we sin, we sin. You're guilty of all. So, as a believer, when we sin, we come under the power of sin, and we need to be saved or delivered from the power of sin. As an unbeliever, we cannot save or deliver ourselves from the penalty of sin. As a believer, we can no more save ourselves from the power of sin. As an unbeliever or as a believer, we need a Savior, a Deliverer, a Deliverer. A lot of people teach, well, when you're in sin, you come out, if you repent, if you confess, if you feel sorry, be committed, yield, all these kind of things. That you're doing something again. Ask him, well now, could you be saved by doing those things? Oh, no, 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 no. No, you're saved by grace through faith, if they got that straight. But see, they changed the gospel now that you're a Christian. Now you've got to do something for God. No, if there are works on the one side of the cross, there are works on the other side. Grace is grace. Look in your Bibles at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Just as you therefore have received Christ. How did you receive Christ? By faith. Received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, you don't make him Lord, he is the Lord. Now, look at the next part. So, walk in him. How do we walk? By faith. How did you receive Jesus Christ? By faith. How are you going to walk? By faith. So the gospel is for Christians. Let's take a few points of summary now. One, for being restored from the power of sin into the power of the Holy Spirit. The gospel is for Christians, for being restored from the power of sin into the power of the Holy Spirit. How am I filled with the Spirit? How do I get back in the light of the Spirit? How do I get back in the power of the Spirit? Okay, that's what we're looking at. As you've received Him, walk by faith. Two, gospel is for Christians, for walking in the Christian way of life. Or the Spirit-filled life. Three, the gospel is for Christians for receiving blessings from God. You want a blessing from God? Don't work for it. Don't buy into this nonsense. You got to tithe and then God will bless you. That's not taught in the Bible. Tithing is a system of taxation in the Old Testament. It's not in the epistles to the church. You don't do things for God to receive from God. You want a blessing from God? Trust Him. Trust Him. Not by your works. Not by the works of confession. The works of repentance. All these type of things. Now, I know that confession gets a big show in the Christianity. And because of 1 John 1:9. But the key thing there is 1 John 1:8. See, they're in denial of their sin. Now, if you're in denial that you sin, what's the first thing you got to do? Acknowledge, okay, I do sin. Let's just take an alcoholic. What's the first step that an alcoholic has to do? I am an alcoholic. Otherwise, he has nothing to recover from. So the first thing he's got to do, I'm an alcoholic. Is he restored? Is that the way he's going to make it? No, that's just the first step. As long as you deny that you sin, as many Christians, some Christians do, you're not going to go back to faith in the Spirit to recover. So, 1 John 1:8, they were in denial of sin. And in 1 John 1:9, that wonderful loving shepherd said, now, let me explain to you about God. Let me tell you about God. See, they thought that if they sinned, they lost their salvation in 1 John. So, what this loving shepherd does was said, no, let me, see, you've got an incorrect view of God. God does not take away what He has given to us freely at the cross. So let me explain to you. First of all, you're coming off a denial, the last part of verse 8, and the first part of verse 9, acknowledge that you sin. Now let me tell you about God. God is not going to come get you. God is not going to take your salvation away from you. All this nonsense. God is faithful. Who's He faithful to? Not you. He's faithful to His Son's work on the cross. He's just, and we've studied the justice of God. He is already forgiven. He has already cleansed. Claim what is yours by faith. So, confession was never meant in John to be a mechanic for getting back into the filling of the Spirit. The Roman Catholic Church started that, and then Protestant churches picked it up, and it's received a lot of acceptance. It's not taught. Got to understand the Bible. Want to understand the cross work of Christ. Want to understand grace. You're not saved by confession. You're not restored by confession. Restored by faith is that you're saved by faith. All right, point four. We are never without the need of God. We are never without the need of God for salvation or deliverance, even as believers. And until we see this, we will not see that we need Him moment by moment to restore us from sin. Now, I want to go on the presentation, on a PowerPoint presentation. I don't know if those of you sitting here will be able to read this, but I wanted to get it on one page. I didn't want it to be on two pages, but on the internet you can pull it down and be able to read it clearly and all. So let's just go through. What I want to look at is the question for the unbeliever is, how can I be saved? The question for the believer, how can I be restored when I sin? So let's take a look at the gospel. The good news of the gospel, which means good news for the unbeliever. And then right across from that, we'll take a look at the good news, the gospel, the good news for a born-again believer. And then we'll look under the unbeliever, under the penalty of sin, and the believer under the power of sin. Okay? The unbeliever is under the power of sin. Okay? The unbeliever is in need of salvation or deliverance. Salvation or deliverance. The believer is in need of salvation or deliverance. Just like an unbeliever, you're saved eternally, you have eternal security, you cannot lose it. But experientially in your life, you are in need of salvation or deliverance from, right above it, the power of sin. Okay? Must be by God alone for the unbeliever. It must be by God alone for the believer. That doesn't change. Must be by God alone for both. It must be according to grace for the unbeliever. You've learned that. Well, it must be by grace for the believer. Now, if God's going to do it alone, if God's going to save us from the penalty of sin as unbelievers, if God is going to save us from the power of sin as believers, and it's got to be by God alone, and it's got to be according to grace, okay, it's got to be then by faith alone. By faith alone. How are we going to be restored as believers? By faith alone. By faith alone. Now, by faith alone for the unbeliever, in the one whom God has sent for this purpose. That is Jesus Christ, His Son. For the deliverance in the spiritual life, by faith alone, in the one God sent for this purpose, His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was not sent to give us charismatic movements. The Spirit was sent to restore us from sin. He's a deliverer. That's why Christ said, I'm leaving, but He's coming. That's got to be by faith alone. Now, what we want to take a look at is compare some of the results. Jim, can you get me one of the little pamphlets, the red ones? The red and black. Alright. Let's take a look. Now what we have on the board is on the believer's side, or the unbeliever's side. When you put faith in Jesus Christ alone, it results in salvation or deliverance in eternal life, regeneration, eternal sanctification, in the eternal plan of God, reconciled with God. Okay? Now, let's take a look at what happens in regard to the believer. Thank you. In regard to the born-again believer. Alright? This results, when you put your faith in the Spirit. You've sinned. I've sinned. And not quickly you're back in the filling of the Spirit. Just, I said, I trust the Spirit. It's just like, how will you say, I trusted in Jesus Christ, I'm saved. Trust in the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit. You're in the light. You're saved from the power of sin. Can it be that easy? Yes. Can salvation be that easy? Eternal life salvation be that easy? Yes. It's that easy. So let's take a look at what we have here. We have corresponding to salvation with the unbeliever, our deliverance in, salvation or deliverance in for the believer, eternal life for the believer, it's spiritual life. For the unbeliever, results in regeneration. For the believer, rejuvenation in the spiritual life. For the unbeliever, eternal sanctification, which you cannot lose. You are eternally sanctified the moment you believe in Christ. For the believer, temporal sanctification. Temporal, throughout your life. For the unbeliever, you are in the eternal plan of God. For the believer, in the temporal plan of God. For the unbeliever, reconciled with God. For the believer, in fellowship with God. In fellowship with Him. Alright? We are delivered as an unbeliever from the power of darkness. As a believer, walking in the light. Unbeliever, in the love of God. For the believer, loving as Christ loved. Our eternal life salvation is the pattern for our spiritual pattern of salvation, for spirituality. Colossians 2:6, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So the Bible clearly uses one, our eternal life salvation, as a pattern for our restoration from personal sins, from the power of sin. Now, Lewis Berry Chafer, founder and first president of Dallas Theological Seminary, in his book True Spirituality, in the last chapter, Conclusion, Analogy and Conclusion, he does what we've been saying here, just letting you know if you want to read it somewhere else, he develops a pattern, analogy, from our eternal life salvation and our temporal salvation or deliverance as believers. And what we've done here is we put out a little booklet. If you wanted to get one in the mail, we certainly have them, where I just took Lewis Berry Chafer's book and did a little work on it, but I'm going to give it to you so you'll have it on the internet. You can print this out and have it on the internet. Now, what we've done in his book, he goes through different points, point one, and then he has A and B. Point two, A and B. A is the unbeliever. B is the believer. And he's showing you the analogy of how the what happens with the unbeliever is a pattern for what happens with the believer. It's an excellently written book in a chapter in that book. And he points these things out. So let's take a look at what Chafer has done and see if this flows all right for you. All right, first of all, we have the gospel, our good news for the non-Christian, and then we'll take a look, I got some underneath it, the condition of the one who needs to be saved from the penalty of sin. Okay? Now, we've paraphrased him, but the following paragraph, the Bible tells us that the human race needs to be saved from the penalty of sin. You are said to be in a lost or condemned condition, separated from God. God tells us that there is none righteous, not even one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you recall we corrected that. Excluded from the glory of God. Again, to fall short, you lose a football game by one or two points, that's falling short. You come up with $1,900 on a $2,000 bill, that's falling short. We not only do not fall short, we're excluded of the righteousness of God, the glory of God. The Bible also reveals that there is nothing you can do to be saved from the penalty of sin on your own. Your only hope is to completely depend upon God for His saving power and grace. And so, let's take a look at the same concept now, how this sets a pattern for us as believers. The gospel, or good news for the Christian. Okay? Let's take a look. The condition of the one who needs to be saved from the power of sin. So, what is we have here? The Bible also tells us that the Christian needs to be delivered from the power of sin. Remember the unbeliever, penalty, believer, power of sin. This is because of the presence of the sin nature that remains a part of the Christian after salvation. When you sin, you are similar to when you were unsaved. You are in a state of unrighteousness, temporally, experientially, not permanently, not positionally. Positioned in Christ, you have been imputed with perfect righteousness. We studied that last week. You are in a state of unrighteousness and therefore not in fellowship with God. Even though you are now a Christian, you can do nothing to be delivered from the power of sin. Your only hope is to completely depend upon God for His saving power and grace. Okay, that's the first place. The first phase is condition. Need to be saved from the penalty of sin. Need to be saved from the power of sin as a believer. Now let's see what Schaefer did next. The non-Christian. God's love desires your salvation from the penalty of sin. Now, I've got this where I've got to go through the whole left side, but I just want to go ahead and bring up the right side right now and see what we can do here. And so we got, for the Christian, God's love desires your salvation from the power of sin. I mean, He went to all this trouble to save us so we could have fellowship. Now, as we're believers, He still wants to have fellowship with us, but we sin. And He can't. So, but He desires it. His love desires to have fellowship with us. It's amazing. But He does. We all know humans that don't even want to have love relationship with us, but God does. Sometimes it's bad when it's your own parents. But God does. And so God has done something on His part to make sure that we can be in a proper relationship with Him. Now, going to the condition of the unbeliever here, the non-Christian must be saved or delivered from the penalty of sin. You must have a personal relationship with God. However, there is nothing that you can do to make things right between you and God. We studied this. But God loves us and desires this relationship with each and every one of us, including you, including me. He desires it so much that He provided the way of salvation. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Also, under the unbeliever's part, you can look at Matthew 18:14, Romans 5:8, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, and 1 Corinthians 15:22. Now let's take a look at this from the believer's standpoint. God loves the believer and desires to your salvation, deliverance from the power of sin. The Christian must also be saved or delivered from the power of sin that has been temporarily separated from the power of God because of sin. Again, there is nothing that we can do to make things right between you and God. Just as you could when you're an unbeliever, you can't as a believer. You're carnal. But God loves you. And so God desires for us to walk in His power and in fellowship with Him. He's provided the way. And so He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. How do we walk by the Spirit? By faith. Also, and just for your further reading, you can look at Romans chapter 7, 24 and 25, 1 John 1, 3, 1, 6, and Galatians 3, 1 through 5. Very important passage in Galatians. Wish we had time to do that. Okay, now let's go to the next day. So if you got the idea now, the unbeliever is under the penalty of sin. God loves and desires salvation from it. The believer, under the power of sin, God loves and desires to break that. Okay. Now, the non-Christian again, the left side. Salvation is of God alone from the penalty of sin. Again, I want to go right on and make sure that we see this on the believer side. Believer, salvation is of God alone from the power of sin. See? One's under the penalty of sin, one's under the power of sin. Now let's look at the unbeliever. Salvation must be by God alone. We saw that in Isaiah 43. I alone save. So that's why you must see your deliverance as a believer as a form of salvation. Then you'll realize it's got to be of God, not because I do anything for Him. Salvation must be of God alone. Every aspect of your salvation is beyond human power and strength. Because you are helpless under the penalty of sin, you cannot save or deliver yourselves. You must depend totally upon God. And then we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You can also take a look under the unbeliever side under this aspect of being delivered by from the penalty of sin by God alone. Romans 1:16, Acts 4:12, Isaiah 43:11, Isaiah 44:6-8, and 59:16. Now, let's take a look at this from the believer's standpoint. Salvation is of God alone from the power of sin. It is equally true that the Christian is helpless to deliver himself from the power of sin. Now that you are a Christian, every salvation is just as much a deliverance as when you were a non-Christian. You cannot save or deliver yourself from the power of sin any more than you could save or deliver yourself from the penalty of sin as an unbeliever. Must depend totally upon God. Then we look at Romans 7:24 briefly. Wretched man that I am, and he's a believer here. Wretched man that I am as a believer, who will set me free from the body of this death? And then chapter 8 goes through the Holy Spirit. Also, we can look at Galatians 5:16. Let me get these on here for you. Galatians 5:16, Philippians 2:13, and Romans 8:2. Okay, we're moving right along here. Now, let's go to the next stage. Think you're non-Christian? Salvation is only by and through the cross from the penalty of sin. Okay, let's go ahead and take a look at this from the believer's standpoint. Salvation from the penalty of, from the power of sin is only and by and through the cross from the power of sin. So both of them again are analogous. They're both from depending on the work of Christ on the cross. Okay, let's look at the unbeliever. God has already solved the problem of the penalty of sin by sending His Son to die on the cross. Jesus Christ took upon Himself the penalty for your sins so that God would be free to save you eternally, and we'll see experientially. By Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, God is now free to save us. Here we want to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Okay? This is talking about eternal life, but it's applicable to the Christian and spiritual life. For by His wounds you were healed. Also, you might want to look at 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15, Isaiah 53:4 and 5, and Romans 5:8 through 11. Now let's see how this works for the believer, how the pattern carries through. Salvation, deliverance, is only by and through the cross from the power of sin. It is by the same pattern of salvation that God is free to deliver, to save every Christian after he has committed personal sins. Jesus Christ has died for all sins, past, present, and future. That's why faith in the Spirit restores you. You don't have to confess your sins in that sense. You want to acknowledge your sins only when you're in denial of them, so you'll know that you need to be back in the filling of the Spirit. Not to accomplish anything from God. Okay? Because of this, God is now free to deliver you from the power of sin and deliver you into His power, that is the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And when you're in the power of the Spirit, that's when you have power over sin. So repentance doesn't give power over sin. Confession doesn't give power over sin. Only the filling of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. So the question is, how am I filled with the Spirit? How was I saved? By faith? How are you going to be filled with the Spirit? By faith. And we look here at Romans 6:6. Also, you might want to look at Romans 6:10, Romans 8:2 and 3, 1 Peter 3:18, and 1 John 1:6. All right, let's quickly move on in our study here. For the non-Christian, beautiful point. Now, I inserted this in Schaefer's 5 points that Schaefer has in his book, Either Spiritual, Chapter 7, Analogy and Conclusion, and I don't think he would object, because he was very much understanding of the grace of God. So let's take a look. Salvation is by grace alone from the penalty of sin. And as we're going to see here, for the born-again believer, salvation is by grace alone from the power of sin. It's got to be by grace. Can't be by works. It's got to be by grace. Now let's take a look at this, how it works for the unbeliever. Since you as a non-Christian cannot say, do, or experience anything to save or deliver yourself, you must totally depend upon God's grace. Grace is God providing everything necessary without any merit work from man. And here we have Ephesians 2:8 and 9 that we've looked at. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It, salvation, is a free gift of God, not of works. Not the result of works, that no one should boast. And remember what boasting is. I invited Him into my heart. I made Him Lord. I walked an aisle. I repented. I did this. I did that. No. All I did was believe. Also Romans 6:23. Now let's see how this works for the believer. Again, since you as a Christian are rendered helpless due to personal sins, your salvation or deliverance from the power of sin must be by grace. It cannot be by anything you do or say or experience while under the power of sin. But if it is by grace, Romans 11:6, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. Got to remember what works is. If you say you got to confess, you got to repent, you got to invite, you got to make Him Lord, you got to do these things, that's works. I did it. Also, you want to take a look at 1 Corinthians 15:10, Romans 6:14, Romans 7:24, and 2 Corinthians 12:9. Okay, we're about through here, so let's take a look at the last thing then. Got all of these propositions. Let's see what we've got going now. The non-Christian, salvation is by faith alone from the penalty of sin. All right, let's take a look at this from the standpoint of the born-again believer. This is the believer. Salvation is by faith alone from the power of sin. Now let's take a look at this point from the standpoint of the non-believer. Salvation that will deliver you from the penalty of sin and reconcile you with God can only be a work of God. The only way you can receive what God has done for you is by your faith in the one who has sent you. that is in His Son, Jesus Christ. This salvation is yours by a simple act of faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You also want to look at Ephesians 2:8 and 9, Galatians 3:26, Acts 16:30 and 31, John 6:29, and John 1:12. Now let's take a look at how this works for the born-again believer. Salvation is by faith alone from the power of sin. Salvation or deliverance from the power of sin is equally a work of God. I hope you're seeing that now. Again, the only response that a Christian who has sinned can have towards God to receive deliverance is faith in the one who God has sent. That is the deliverer, the Holy Spirit. Non-Christians are not saved until they trust the Savior. Now, this came out of Schaefer's book. Non-Christians are not saved by until they trust in the Savior, and Christians are not saved or delivered until they trust in the Deliverer, the Holy Spirit. God has made both of these salvations possible through the work of Christ on the cross. Salvation from the power of sin must be claimed an act of faith. Also take a look at Galatians 3, 1-3, Romans 1:17, John 6:29, 1 Corinthians 2:5, and Romans 7, verse 8. Now, actually Romans 7 and 8. Now, see, it's by faith. And what I want you to begin to see, we're going to cover faith, but just for now, want you see that faith, the faith that God is looking for is not a faith in you or what you do. See, that we saw this last week or 2 weeks ago. I believe that if I do this, then God will do that. That's not the faith God is looking for. The faith God is looking for is faith in a member of the Godhead, Himself, His Son, His Spirit. Faith is a relationship word with God. Love is a relationship word between creatures. Faith is a relationship between creature and creator. It's the only thing we can offer God, and He takes our hand, puts His hand in ours, and now we're joined in fellowship. It's faith in a member of the Godhead that God is looking for. Alright. Summary statement. Saved by it. Restored by it. Live by it. Now that you are a Christian by faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible encourages you to live in the same manner by which you were saved, that is, by faith. Just as your faith in Jesus Christ freed Him to save you, so your faith in the Holy Spirit frees Him to pour in to you the love of Christ and all the fruit of the Spirit, the divine nine of Galatians 5. He will reveal the truth of the Scriptures, John 16. And He will transform you into the image of Christ, 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, the great battle in life of the Christian is the battle of faith. As Paul said to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Not of works, but of faith. That's the great battle. So, I hope that you have this now in your understanding and your notes, and we'll just go over these things, see how this is working, see if it flows for you, and I think Schaefer did a great job putting this together, showing the analogy, and that's how we're saved, that's how we're filled with the Spirit, by faith. As an unbeliever, we're under the penalty of sin, as a believer under the power of sin. We need to be saved or delivered from both of them. It has to be by God. It has to be by God alone. It has to be on the basis of grace. And the only thing compatible with grace is faith. So both of them must be by faith. Anyone tries to come along and tell you, no, you've got to work and do to be saved or to be spiritual, saved as a believer from sin. You say, no, that's not the God I know. The God I know did it all. All I have to do is trust the one He sent. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this book. How grateful we are for your love in sending us your Son, in sending us your Spirit, in sending us this book that reveals these things to us. What an awesome God you are indeed, Father. By grace, through faith, that's our God. That's how awesome you are. You've done everything for us because we can do nothing for ourselves. Father, I pray now you'll take the things we've seen rather hurriedly this morning. Help them to settle into the souls of those who listen to the teaching of the Spirit. They might see these truths. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.